This episode of Funny and Handsome Guys is brought to you by Centers of Attention Studios. Email us your thoughts at fhgpodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter at Twitter handle at fhgpodcast. Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's, after a little bit of a break, it's the Funny and Handsome Guys. As always, I'm Kevin, and with me, as always, are Chris and Reggie. You guys want to say hello?
Hello.
Hey.
We've been gone for a couple weeks here. It was not meant to have been quite as long. We had a bit of an issue with one of our shows. Our audio got garbled and was unusable, unfortunately. But we are back. Chris, you last week we talked to you, and I believe the last show that we published actually did reference the fact that you were going to be gone in a couple weeks, but now it's a week past, so you're back.
Yes, I have gone and returned already, and I appreciate you guys waiting on me, even though I'm sure it was purely intentional.
We couldn't do the show without you, Chris.
Yes, thank you. I was on a cruise, and by cruise I mean road trip, through the southern United States. I traveled through 9 states, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, and Oklahoma. I covered all those states in how many days? 6 days. Which was interesting, to say the least. And going through the South, I had never been to most of those states. You know, I've been to Florida, I've been to Atlanta's airport, and I've been to Texas. But other than that, I pretty much hadn't been to any of these states before, which was interesting, to say the least. They have a lot of colorful people in the South. And The person that I was traveling with, he's on a mission to accomplish 50 state capitals in 50 days.
That's very ambitious.
Yes.
Why is he doing this?
Mostly because the election is coming up and he wants to go around the country promoting conservative principles. Which aren't necessarily my principles, by the way. but somebody said to him, he told some people in my family that he was going to do this. And they said, oh, you know what? Chris doesn't have much to do. Do you need somebody to go with you? And he's like, oh, that's a great idea. And so I was automatically volunteered to go with him. But I got out of as much as I could in the sense that I was like, I'll give you 1 week. And so I went for 1 week only out of this 50-day trip. And it was about all I could stomach, I think. you know, spending that much time on the road and hearing about how President Obama is destroying this country. There's only so much of that you can take. At least that I can take. I do want to tell a quick little funny story from life on the road. In which we were in Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma is widely regarded as the reddest state in the nation. They have more Republicans per capita there than anywhere else in the United States. And so we go for breakfast one morning in this restaurant in the it's the slaughterhouse district is what they call it, because they slaughter a lot of cattle. They have a lot of cattle slaughtering plants there. And we go to this restaurant called the Cattleman's Restaurant, and I guess a lot of people have eaten there, like Ronald Reagan, George W. Bush, a lot of Republican figureheads have eaten at this restaurant before. And it's basically all meat on the menu. Anyway, we finish breakfast and we go outside and there is this old cowboy standing outside. He's got the cowboy boots. He's got the sheepskin jacket. He's got the cowboy hat and he's smoking a big fat cigar. And this guy that I'm traveling with is like, this man is the perfect representation of America. He is the heartland, you know. He is exactly what I'm looking for. Like, I want a picture with this guy because he is truly a great American. And so he walks up to the guy and he goes, excuse me, sir, can I have a picture with you? And the guy goes, yeah, sure. If you like, oh, we'll take a picture. He goes, where are y'all from? And he goes, oh, yeah, from Chicago. And the guy goes, oh, Chicago, eh? I haven't been to Chicago since about 1984. I was there for the Communist Party convention. And so this guy goes, oh, really? The Communist Party convention? Well, I'm glad that, you know, in the years since you have finally seen the light and are now a conservative. And he goes, well, I certainly wouldn't say that. I consider myself to be a democratic socialist. And so the look on this guy's face when he thought, here's a, you know, good old red-blooded American. He turns out he was red-blooded in a different sort of way.
He was fully red.
Yes. It was priceless. And they didn't pose for picture because he ran away from the guy before that could happen. But I actually snapped a picture anyway when they were talking. So I just had to laugh because, you know, going on a conservative cruise and a conservative, not a cruise, but again, road trip was an enlightening experience about America in many ways.
I'm sure you could pick up from the other side a little bit.
Yeah, I certainly learned a lot about America and Americans. Not necessarily everything I wanted to know, but it certainly is still a great country that we live in, to say the least.
I think that just proves that you really can't judge a book by its cover. You know, even when you're in the romance section looking for a romance book, just because it has a certain look to it, might not necessarily mean that it's that kind of book.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah, good point. So that was the highlight of my trip, on a trip that was interesting, and you know, I got to see all these state capitals and these capitol buildings, which are gorgeous. Most of them are gorgeous. Learn a lot about the history of those buildings and some of the states. So that was kind of nice in that respect, but everything else about it was a little tough to stomach at times.
Little kooky?
Oh, yeah. There was actually... are you familiar with the photo from 1945? It was like on V-Day. Back in 1945, all the soldiers were in New York in Times Square, and the one sailor comes up and grabs a nurse and dips her down and kisses her.
Oh, yes. Very, very iconic.
Yes. That iconic photo. There is a sailor that's standing in the background of that photo, the most visible sailor in the background of that photo. I actually stayed at his house one night on the road. He lives in South Carolina.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and he told the story about how he was standing there and he didn't even know that they were taking a photo and all this different sort of stuff. But he is a hardcore conservative. And... he and his wife are, I looked at their bookshelf and they have books from Karl Rove and George W. Bush and every John McCain, every conservative you could think of, Glenn Beck. And then I saw they also had a bunch of, you know, Blank for Dummies books and also Idiot's Guide to books. And I was like, well, this kind of makes sense.
Ouch.
So So that was an interesting experience, and the fact that we got to their house around dinner time, and they were actually cooking dinner for us, and they made us a nice home cooked meal of lima beans and sweet potatoes and some weird carrot mash, that all things that I'm not exactly fond of eating, but I shoved down and like choked down anyway.
It's American eating, man. American.
You got to be polite when somebody cooks a meal for you, you know, even if you don't like what they've cooked.
It's true. It's true.
So yeah, that about sums up my experience. You guys had anything exciting happen in the last week or two?
Well, my sister got married. She has been dating this guy 7 years or so. I actually have known the family for a long time, and it was the first wedding I ever stood in, which was pretty cool. It was very nice of them to invite me in to do that. The wedding party, though, they were nice guys, but they were a bunch of hooligans. I felt like the old narc of the group. They were all, my sister's about 3 years younger than me, and all of her friends are about the same age, and my youngest sister, I've got two sisters, my younger sister was actually the maid of honor, and you know, so they were giving speeches and whatnot, and I had to discipline them while she was giving a speech and make them shut up and get off my lawn and all that stuff. And then pleasantly, I go out to the bar towards the end of the night. It's been a long day, you know. I'm exhausted. I've had a few drinks. My family's all partying it up. I'm like, you know what? I want to get one last drink for the night. And I go out there and I look over and I see who else but Leicester, who's been on the show a long time ago, and former co-host of the show, Alfonso, standing there. And they don't know my sister very well. They've met like once or twice. Leicester's met my sister a few times through when we were going to school together. Didn't know Alfonso. Alfonso's well past the three sheets to the wind point. On his way to the fourth sheet. And they're just standing there like, "What are you doing here, Kevin?" I'm like, it's my sister's wedding. What are you doing here?" And they're like, "We're staying in this hotel, and there was a party going on downstairs. We were going to crash it." And I'm like, "You're going to crash my sister's wedding?" And he's like, "Well, we were going to." I'm like, "Okay, well, you're not really crashing it now because you know me." And
they were already there, so technically they had already crashed.
They had already crashed it, yes. So, but of course my mom comes out and she's pretty toasted at this point as well. She's having a good time, you know, and she sees Leicester and she's like, "No, you're not crashing this party. You are invited now." And he's like, "Well, that takes all the fun out of it." But it was a pleasant experience.
And you like the guy that your sister married?
Reggie, how are you doing?
Oh, awkward!
Awkward.
Boom.
No, he's okay.
We've had
our differences, but, you know.
Yep, to each their own.
Yeah. He makes her happy. That's all I can ask.
There you go.
Yep. But anyway, Reggie, anything exciting happened to you lately?
Not at all. I feel like a misfit because you guys have these awesome stories and I was just bumming around.
Well, I'm going to throw this out here now. It's well past official. I've notified everybody who could possibly listen to this show and would be offended if I didn't like directly tell him. But I'm getting married here in about a month or so, a little bit over a month.
Cue the applause sound effect.
Yeah, but thank you. But both of you guys we're going to be having my bachelor party here in a few weeks. But yeah, so we'll have some stories to tell from there, I'm sure.
Yes, I would certainly hope so. I really want to go to the entire thing. I don't know that I'm going to be able to make the entire thing. But we'll
understand.
See how that pans out.
It's going to be a long thing, and it's real casual, like everything else. So, but
can I just puss out via the internet right now and say that while you guys go to that haunted house, like I'll just chill in the car and play my Vita the entire time?
Sure, you can do that.
Because that's what I plan to do. Because like every day I'd be like, yeah, we're going to go to this haunted house and we're going to have fun. And the next day I'd be like, I'm not going in a haunted house. That's not fun. And the next day I'd be like, everybody else is doing it. Come on, don't be that guy. And then the next day it's like, nope, no, not at all. So I think being so torn on it, I think it's best if I just don't.
Oh, no, you should go, man. Just go. We're going to be a little toasted already by this point, I think.
I think so. Drunk black man plus haunted house. It sounds like an interesting like movie. Like maybe if you throw like Kevin Hart in there, or I mean, well they tried doing that with Eddie Murphy. He wasn't really drunk in that movie.
He acted like it, and what was that? Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, and for the record, I love that movie. Anyway. It just doesn't sound like a good combination. Entertaining for everyone else involved, but for the drunk black man at the time, probably not so much.
Well, that's just fine. We'll have a good time in any case. But yeah, we'll have an update here on a very special Funny and Handsome Guys episode. Probably. We should just do it like on location and like
do it on the bus, like on the.
There we go. We should just record it the whole thing live.
That would be a mess of a show, I think.
That would be something. At the end of the night, we'll have our wrap up and yeah. But anyway, well, it's going to be the new fall season of TV. Chris, Reggie, I know. Between the three of us, we all are quite a bit fans of TV, the television medium.
Mm-hmm. It's all right.
It's all right. All right. Reggie, you're the one who's telling me about Ultimate Spider-Man and Avengers, the cartoons.
Yeah, I was just trying to play it cool. I love TV. I've always loved TV. I was pretty much raised by it back in the 80s. Like,
do you get people who are like, oh, I don't own a TV. I'm like, who are you?
For real. It's like, you're lying
to
yourself.
Really you're not even human really anymore. Like, it's like a defining aspect of being human now.
It's the Skrulls. The Skrulls have kidnapped them and placed themselves in human-like shells. In a secret invasion of sorts, because Skrulls don't watch TV.
They wouldn't. They're too busy.
Scrolling out.
Scrolling out.
Indeed.
No. But, so Chris, Reggie, what are some of your shows that you're looking forward to returning right now? Chris, what shows are you looking forward to?
Okay, you know, I have a list of about 40 shows that I watch every week. And so 40 shows is a lot of shows to keep up with. But I do it. I make the time and I take the effort, and sometimes it costs me a couple hours of sleep because I'm watching something on Hulu or I'm, you know, staying up with the DVR or whatever just to watch it. But... you know, let's see. Some of my sort of mainstays. I got the Monday Night Comedies on CBS. I got the Thursday night comedies on NBC. CBS stuff being, you know, your How I Met Your Mothers and your Two Broke Girls, that sort of stuff. Thursday NBC, you got your Community, though Community is no longer on Thursdays on NBC. It will be on, though. You got your Parks and Rec, Office, and that sort of stuff. Got the procedural dramas, mostly CBS stuff, Criminal Minds, your CSIs, your, what else? There's a bunch of stuff. Mentalist, The Mentalist, yes. Looking forward to all that stuff. And then, you know, you got your cable stuff, too. I'm extremely, extremely excited to have Boardwalk Empire back. I'm very excited about the upcoming season of Dexter, but I'm probably most excited. The TV show that has me the most riveted and the most on the edge of my seat has got to be Homeland on Showtime. If you have not seen the show, get the first season. It's out on DVD. Watch it. It's incredible.
I've heard so many good things about that show. It's a adaption, I believe, of a... Israeli show, I want to say.
Perhaps.
Yeah, it's based on an Israeli series that was similar. I mean, they adapted it considerably to fit in an American setting. But I've heard nothing but amazing things about it, and I've been waiting for it to come out onto DVD. It just came out. I want to say,
I think it was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, not too long ago. So
definitely pick up that first season and watch it, because it will, you know, it's by the people that make it are most of the same people that did 24.
Yes.
So that's kind of, it's got a similar sort of thing, but it's more drawn out and more character studied.
Yeah,
than it is blind action.
I could never really get into 24. Like, I liked it occasionally, but I think part of it was because it was so heavily serialized. But it was serialized action that it was never as engaging for me as I wanted it to be. I always loved Kiefer Sutherland. Like, you can't not love him. But never was able to engage in it in the way that I think everybody else wanted me to. But nonetheless, I think that this show has, I want to say it's almost even more compelling, like, of a hook than 24. I mean, if you don't know the hook of Homeland, it's basically about a CIA officer who has a suspicion that a returned prisoner of war, American prisoner of war, has actually been turned by Al-Qaeda. I don't know anything beyond that. That's the basic premise of it. And there's a lot of is he or isn't he turned type of stuff, as I suspect. But I also think that they are able to address a lot of the questions. It's not just a lot of questions. It's...
Yes. You know, it stars Claire Danes as the CIA agent. You also have Damian Lewis, who plays the suspected turned American soldier. And Mandy Patinkin, who's great as a CIA consultant of sorts, if you will. Yeah. Great character drama. I suspect this show is being recorded before the Emmys actually happen, but after the Emmys is probably when you'll be listening to it. And I suspect it might win Best Drama, the Best Drama Emmy.
It'll be interesting to see. I've heard a lot of good things about it, and I wouldn't be surprised if it did. Reggie, do you have any shows that you religiously watch?
I do, but they're so, like, random and across the board. Like, I outed myself as far as wrestling is concerned. I'm a big fan of Monday Night Raw. I never get to watch it anymore because they usually working or whatever on Mondays. Also, Monday Night Switched at Birth. Amazing show. I know it's on ABC Family, so it's sure it's marketed for 13-year-old girls, but that show is really good. It's what, it's in its third season now, I think. I can't stop singing its praises, really. Community Thursday, I was really impressed last season. The video game episode, I kind of rolled my eyes at the thought of it, but then once I watched it, I was really surprised. And Giancarlo Esposito, I think, did a really good guest appearance. Speaking of, he was bugging out in Do the Right Thing. I found that out. But around here, around this house, we know him as Gus Fring from Breaking Bad, which is the best freaking show on television right now. And there's the break until next year, and it's also the break of my heart and my sanity to wait that long. But also on the subject of shows, good shows on AMC like Breaking Bad, Walking Dead should be coming back pretty soon, and I'm excited for that. What else? What else do I watch? Newsroom is awesome, but that's there we gotta wait till next season for that to get. It's season two is a go, but if you don't know about it, it's on HBO. It's Jeff Daniels. I don't want to sit here and talk about the premise because that'll take like 8 years or whatever. But it's a great show. Some people have problems with the writing. I say it's because it's smart. It's like Kevin Williamson smart, like in the sense that everybody's like, kids on Dawson's Creek, nobody talks like that. And it's kind of like the same thing, but it's actually adults. And so people are like, regular people don't talk like that. And I kind of feel like the characters aren't really regular people. Like, it's a very extraordinary situation. Newsroom... One show that I've been watching a lot lately, not of my own volition, but Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. It's actually a spinoff of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and it's about the characters from the land of make believe, and kind of like what they do. Just on any regular day, they take the trolley. Mr. McFeely was in an episode. There's Prince Wednesday. Well, Daniel Tiger, obviously. And then, I can't remember the girl cat name, but the one she always says like meow meow after every sentence.
That's reassuring that this is a thing.
If you know Land of Make-Believe, if you know Mr. Rogers, then I'm sure you're like, oh yeah. But everybody else just thinks I'm flat out crazy.
No, man, I grew up with Mr. Rogers. Come
okay.
on.
that's what I've been watching.
Partly because you have a... how old is she, two?
She's two now.
Two-year-old girl back at home, so...
I do want to make a couple comments. In regards, first, to the newsroom... As a person that has worked in a newsroom, that worked in a newsroom for a few years, there's something that's both entirely accurate and entirely inaccurate about that show. and, you know, I really the only thing that I'll say is that some of the things that happen on that show fall into place way too easily, but then again, it is television, so of course... those sorts of things happen.
Well, there was the episode where Bin Laden got killed, and it seemed like Jeff Daniels' character had his intro like timed perfectly, and it ended like exactly as Obama was like walking down the hallway. And I remember watching it, like actually watching the when it, you know, got leaked to the press or whatever, and everybody's tweeting it out, and you know, even though we're gonna watch his presidential address, even though everybody and their mom already knew that Bin Laden was dead, I remember just watching that hallway for like 13 minutes, like it seemed like forever. And on that show, the thing that irked me, and he's like, and here's the president now, and like Obama's walking down the hallway, and it's like, no, no, that's not how it went.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the things just work so well, so perfectly. You know, it's like they had an episode where the BP oil spill happened, and they're like, oh, I've got a source on this saying that it's going to, you know, keep going for a long time. And they're like, who's your source? And it's like, oh, it's my cousin. My cousin works for BP. And it's like, well, okay. Like a couple times people reference the fact that they knew somebody that was directly related to the situation that was going on. And that doesn't usually happen in a newsroom, but oh well.
It all just comes together a little bit too easily.
Yeah.
Well, but at the same time, it's about their missteps too, like how they you know, decided not to cover Casey Anthony, and in the end it ended up biting them in the ass because people were watching other networks because they were covering it and they weren't.
That's true, yeah. That was more taking a stand for personal ethics of sorts, trying not to be drawn down into the muck with other stations and that sort of stuff, which is sort of accurate, but for the most part, I think everyone's, if they believe something is newsworthy, a station's probably going to cover it no matter what, which I guess is part of why their whole idea of changing the way that we do news is why they tried to do something different and failed at it.
No. Well,
One other thing I wanted to say in regards to Breaking Bad, AMC has a very strict policy of no white after Labor Day.
Walter White after Labor Day.
Yeah. But a bump.
There you go.
It honestly took me a second.
I didn't catch that. It took me a while there. I'm not a active viewer of the show, though, so
well, my first thought was, it's not cocaine, it's meth. The meth is blue, it's not white at all. And then I was like, wait, Walter, he's, yeah, I get it now.
So Kevin, though Breaking Bad is not on your watch list, what is on your watch list?
Honestly, I'm a pretty busy guy, so I don't get to watch too much television. Although I do enjoy it. I actually, as has probably been addressed on the show before, I tend to watch a little bit of reality shows with my fiance Lindsay. We just finished watching the last season of So You Think You Can Dance, which I don't know. I know, Chris, you don't watch it, but Reggie, do you watch So You Think You Can Dance?
I watched most of this season. I think I'm three episodes.
Okay,
Caitlin's informing me I'm four episodes back because I'm keeping her from it, and I know she wants to.
I won't say who wins.
I know the girl winner because somebody on Facebook felt so compelled to post it. But
were they angry?
I don't know. I saw it and I was like, oh, that's nice, and kept scrolling past because, you know, there's always somebody that has to spoil something.
Oh yeah. I won't spoil anything else then. But suffice to say, there's one in particular dancer who goes by the name Cyrus, who has had a pretty incredible run on this season. He's not a professional dancer. He's not trained in anything. He's an animator, which is basically just sort of like highly precise robot, you know, movements. And he does it in a way that's just mesmerizing and hypnotic. And he's brilliant at it. And you wouldn't think that this guy would be able to do any of this other dancing. And You wouldn't be wrong. He's not like a great dancer in a lot of the highly technical stuff. However, the guy is just so like joyous in his dancing that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You love the guy. You're rooting for him the entire way through. So, I was really pleased that he did so well, because he was one of those moments of television watching that's just pure joy, because he is like just so happy to be there. So yeah. So I do have a little bit of a weakness for reality television. I watch in horror one.
Don't say its name, because then it'll make it. It'll every time you say that little girl's name, it gives her more power.
No, I don't watch that. I don't watch She That Must Not Be Named. But the other show that is on that channel that features sisters that are conjoined twins.
The two-headed sisters?
Yeah. I watched that just sort of like mesmerized in horror. Although honestly, it's kind of boring right now, so I've given up on it. But anyway, usually though, I actually have some pretty I like to think decent taste in television shows. I love most of the animated shows that are on Fox every Sunday. I make a point to watch those, just because I know a lot of people don't like them. Each one of the shows has its own hater or whatever. I think Bob's Burgers is probably the strongest one on right now. American Dad is just so filled with the WTF that sometimes it's brilliant, sometimes it's really offensive, but you know, you just go with it. Family Guy is kind of meh. You know, there are moments where it's just like more shocking, and it's not funny. It loses the funniness. I'm still a fan of The Simpsons, you know, even if it's not as good as it was 15 years ago. 15 years ago, there was nothing as good as The Simpsons. So, but my favorite show on TV is probably Community. I'm excited for this next season, though also kind of dreading it because of the new showrunner. And I'm also worried because the word is this is probably going to be its last season. We'll see. I know Donald Glover is working on developing his own side television show at the same time, so that's never a good sign. But I'm actually almost all caught up in Parks and Recreation.
They should just do an Inspector Spacetime spinoff.
Well, they're doing an Inspector Spacetime web series, but it's not official. They actually were going to call it Inspector Spacetime, and they were sued, and they lost. They basically call it The Detective Who Travels.
Or, like, call it The Imaginarium or something, and just have it be about Troy and Ovid. Or call it Troy and Ovid in the Moon!
It's called, on Kickstarter, it was still called Inspector Spacetime, this web series, but it was an untitled web series about a space traveler who can also travel through time, I think is the official title. I haven't gotten a chance to see that yet, but hopefully it lives up to its name. I'm almost all caught up on Parks and Recreation. I've actually been devouring it. I didn't realize how good it was until just a few weeks ago, and I'm just about two episodes away from being completely caught up and ready for this new season. Same with Game of Thrones. I haven't seen any of this of season two, but I believe that actually has already gone through, hasn't it? But that you know, very solid show. South Park starts in a week, so by the time this goes up, it'll probably be just about ready to go up. So I'm looking forward to that. South Park is probably... it ties with Community for my favorite show on TV. It's fantastic. And of course, then you got Walking Dead. Can't miss Walking Dead. I've gotten Lindsay addicted to it, and I know it's not as good as the comic books, but honestly, the comic books aren't always very well written, so I'm not arguing with it. I'm not too upset about it. I just enjoy it for being a zombie television show.
But, I too am also excited for the new season of The Walking Dead. That should be interesting and exciting, because I know that they're going to the prison this season, and I know that's a big thing in the books, right?
Yes. I am going to Wizard World here just a couple, right when we started the show, actually. I got a copy of the first compendium of The Walking Dead for Lindsay, or Lindsay got it, rather. And I had actually read most of it prior to that, but it was nice getting filled in with some of the gaps. And it'll be exciting because it looks like, I feel like this last season was a big course correction. The first season was, it strayed pretty considerably from the comic. And the second season came in, they got a new showrunner, and he's like, no, we're going back to the comic as inspiration. And so they had to do a lot of course correction and adjusting and whatnot. And now they're back to being able to like really indulge in what the comic books got. So I'm excited about that.
Yes. I also want to make a quick mention of a couple shows that I neglected to mention earlier that includes some stuff on FX that's going to be starting in October. The League, which I'm a big fan of.
The League is awesome. Oh, I love that show.
Yes. Also, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and American Horror Story.
Oh, yes. American Horror Story. I'm looking forward to the new season of that as well. As same with It's Always Sunny.
Yes. The next season of American Horror Story is going to be different, I think.
Yes. In every way.
Yeah. Except for Jessica Lange, who I feel like... I don't know. Do you think that she was deserving of the awards that she got for her role in that?
I think they're throwing her a bone.
I think she overacted a bit, personally. But
yeah, that's what I mean. Like they're like, oh, it's Jessica Lange. She's doing some real acting, and it's just like, no, she's acting all right, but
yeah. And I also want to give a special shout out to the final 13 episodes of Fringe, which will be up on Fox starting at the end of September.
Yes, I've heard. Never been able to catch up with that show, but I have some friends who are very, very enthusiastic viewers of it.
My parents really like it. Like, I don't know, like, I kind of can't trust them, though, because, like, they never watch X-Files or anything, so it's like, why are you all into this? Like, what gives? And they're like, oh, it's so good, it's so good. All right, well, so is X-Files.
Yeah. Well, we're having kind of a pretty casual show this week. We don't have an album of the week because of all of our technical abilities or technical mishaps or what have you.
Technical disabilities.
Technical. That's a good way of describing it, really. But so we'll just jump right into it. Our top five for the week is going to be our top five most anticipated new shows. So, Reggie, what's your number five?
For my number five, I picked Ben and Kate on NBC. I actually got to watch the first episode, and there was a moment where...
Ben and Kate, on Fox.
Oh, is Fox? Yeah. Fox, I mean, they're the same. They're all the same. ABC, CNN, ESPN. It's all one big network anyway. So Benny Kidd is on Fox. And I watched the first episode. There was one moment where the main character, Ben, he has, I think he was babysitting or something. He has a little kid in the car, and he finds out that his ex-girlfriend is getting married, and he feels very strongly about it. So he's about to swear, but then realizes that the kid's in the back seat and totally curbs himself. But that particular moment, I know that sounds kind of weak, but it made me laugh really hard. Just because his character is pretty boneheaded, and I don't want to say clueless, but just kind of like the douchebag guy that never grew up, you know. And it's kind of him dealing with himself, dealing with reality. Well, and then there's Kate too, because otherwise the show would just be called Ben. But I gravitated more towards Ben, and I will be checking it out to see how that, see how it develops.
All right, Chris, what's your number five?
My number five is Revolution, and it's really more me throwing NBC a bone than anything else, because I don't think NBC has anything better to offer than Revolution this year. It was created by J.J. Abrams, which that's always a huge, like, oh, J.J. Abrams. Whenever he comes out with a new show, everyone always gets excited. Well, this one, the story is basically about the world loses all electricity. And so it's sort of back to olden times where electricity, you know, pre-electricity days. And there's a lot of fighting and there's a lot of crazy, you know, characters and exposition. I don't know. I haven't really seen any
you
of
didn't,
it yet.
Because I actually watched it earlier tonight. I was going to ask what you thought of it. But
I have not watched the first episode yet. I'm going to get on that shortly. But it is it looks intriguing to me, to say the least.
Giancarlo Esposito, that I brought up earlier, he is actually the villain in it. And unfortunately, to me, he was the only bright spot in it. there was a lot of bad acting, and the whole like sword fighting thing kind of made me scratch my head. I mean, it's a really interesting concept, though.
Yeah, well, hopefully the execution gets better as episodes go on.
Yeah, and in fact, Revolution is my number five as well. I'm looking forward to it. I have not seen the trailer, which was put online here for fans to check out beforehand, which is always interesting. It's like, fans can check out it before it airs, and it's like, nobody's seen it, so how can anybody be a fan? But I guess you're a fan of J.J. Abrams, who has a pretty good track record, and as well, it's from the guy who did Supernatural, so there are plenty of fans of him out there. Supernatural is one of those shows that just sort of always seemed to me to be kind of that sleeper that you forget is still on, and yet it's got like legions of fans, and it's been on for like, it was on for like five or six seasons. In fact, it's still on. I didn't even realize it was still on, but it's still on, so... Revolution looks interesting. I think the premise is promising, though silly. At least some of the ways that they go about doing it. I hope that it's more answers and not just
bunch of questions. Get off it. Get off it.
What's that?
Lost was awesome. You know it.
Yeah, you know, I liked Lost, but eventually it was asking so many questions there was no way that it
but
could
that's
ever
life. I think that's very appropriate because in life you don't always get the answer. Sometimes you have to find your own answers.
True, but this is television. Yeah,
but art imitates life.
Okay, I'll give you that. Okay, anyway, so that's my number five. Reggie, what's your number four?
My number four is, I talked about this, I think our very first episode together, I got a preview of it at C2E2 in Chicago. It is going to be on Disney XD. It's a I got to be true to myself. It's a cartoon based on Marvel characters. It's called Hulk and the Asians. That's not what it's called. Okay, hold on. Let me do this again. It's called Hulk and the Agents of Smash, where it's basically the Incredible Hulk, Bruce Banner, as everybody knows him, and he has a team with him. There's She-Hulk. There's Red Hulk that everybody disappointingly found out was General Ross. I still cry myself to sleep at night, knowing that I got so wrapped up in that storyline, only to be so disappointed. And then there's also A-Bomb, which I believe is Abomination's son or Abomination something. I don't know. Somehow he's related to the Abomination, but he's a good guy. He's A-Bomb. So it's like them all together fighting and doing Hulk stuff. And if you saw Avengers, you know how awesome Hulk is. So that should prove to be pretty cool.
Good choice. I actually am looking forward to it. The Disney Marvel television shows, cartoons have been fantastic. So hopefully they continue that streak. Chris, what's your number four?
My number four is a little bit off book, and you know it could very well be turn out to be something terrible. But my number four is Hunted. It is a series that's coming to Cinemax, I'm sorry, in October. It stars Melissa George as a CIA agent, or not so much a CIA agent, but a government of sorts, secret agent spy who gets betrayed and gets turned on and basically has to go into hiding. But of course, she can't hide for very long because her past catches up with her. I've seen a couple previews that they've had on Cinemax for that, and it looks interesting. It's also starring Adewale Akinoye Ajibade. I don't even know if that's even close to the pronunciation, but he played Mr. Echo on Lost.
Yes, that's what we call him. Call him Mr. Echo because that's a lot easier to say.
yes. But Mr. Echo is also a co-star in that. So it's a lot of action, good stuff. Melissa George on the run. It's a secret agent who was, again, betrayed by her own people. So it looks fascinating to me, and that's why I've included it on my list.
It does look good. It does. My number four is also a superhero property, Reggie. And this may be a terrible choice, but I'm intrigued by it because of some of the casting. And that is Arrow. That's going to be on the CW. And, you know, Arrow is a Smallville-esque type television show that is actually about the Green Arrow. As a kid, I guess, is growing up or whatever. He's not really a kid. He's a young adult. But it's got some interesting actors in it, or at least it's got one particular interesting actor, and that's John Barrowman, who's a guilty pleasure of mine. He was featured in Torchwood as Captain Jack, and I'm interested to see him go on to this. It could probably be a guilty favorite of everybody's. I don't expect it to be good in the traditional sense. It's probably going to be cheesy, but that's part of what I want from a superhero TV show. So looking forward to that.
I've actually heard some positive buzz about Arrow.
Oh, have you? That's very good, actually. That's good to hear.
Encouraging.
Yes. All right. Reggie, what's your number three?
My number three, actually, I'm not too sure if this one is going to be in the fall or later on in the winter, but a lot of people have a lot of bad things to say about Dane Cook, and I am still a fan. Not the most diehard, but I enjoy his comedy. I enjoy pretty much anything he's in, I'll watch. And based on that fact alone, I'm looking forward to Next Caller, which is going to be on NBC? Question mark? No, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's NBC this time. Unless it's Fox and I'm totally wrong. I think it's NBC, though.
I don't know.
Okay. I know he's on... There's a lot of radio shows popping up. Like, I know another one's Go On. But it's Dane Cook, radio show. Looks funny. That's it.
Excellent. Chris, what's your...
My number three?
Yes, your number three. That's right.
My number three is Elementary, CBS's reinvention of Sherlock Holmes, redone starring Johnny Lee Miller as the titular Sherlock Holmes, sort of in modern-day New York. And he has his psychotherapist partner, Dr. Watson, who's actually twisted and played, twisted in the sense that a twist on the old character, and is in this case played by Lucy Liu. So I think their dynamic, it should be an interesting, so it'll be another procedural, as CBS is known for, another crime procedural. They'll have a murder of the week, and, you know, Holmes will use his powers of deduction to figure out exactly who did the crime. But I think the playful dynamic between Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu is going to be good. And hopefully it will be an entertaining, funny, if, you know, if not dramatic and that sort of thing show.
That's awesome. That sounds like it'll be a good one. My number three is Catfish, the TV show. It's going to be an MTV style documentary slash whatever Catfish the movie was. Some people questioned its authenticity. Some people said that it was accurate. I'm not sure which camp I fall in. I definitely thought that there were moments that felt a little bit staged, but I don't know if it was just reenacted for the camera and it was a truthful story or what. But that doesn't mean that this TV show is going to be very much related to the movie at all. It's supposed to be about people who have fake lives on the internet. It's going to be interesting because I think that it's an interesting subject. And it's on MTV, which has actually been doing some pretty good work with their original television shows lately. I actually really like The Inbetweeners. Has been pretty hilarious. It's pretty much Superbad, the TV show. And Awkward actually turned out to be not too bad either. So I'm looking forward to Catfish. I mean, and plus it's an MTV documentary after MTV True Life has become like the ultimate guilty pleasure. I can only hope that this will be a worthy follow-up to that. So. Reggie, what's your... what are we on?
Number two,
yeah. So what's your number two?
I'm still kind of stunned that they're making a Catfish TV show, but... okay.
I'm not sure how they're going to do it. Like, honestly, that's my big question, especially considering the allegations of it being not entirely true. Like, I don't want to see some documentary TV show that's not, you know, a real documentary, you know?
I'm sorry. Anyway, my number two show, it's kind of funny because I mentioned it while talking about my last show. My number two show is Go On, and I've already seen a couple episodes of it. I'm really loving it. I was never a big Friends fan. Even though Matthew Perry's pretty cool. I really liked, you know, the whole nine yards back in the day and Fool's Rush In. So I think outside of Friends, I can tolerate him. But it also has like a pretty huge supporting cast. Brett Gelman, this dude is hilarious. He has a podcast that's very absurdist comedy in a, you know, almost Tim and Eric kind of style. So much so that Tim Heidecker has been on twice. He plays this just off the wall character named Mr. K. Worth tuning in just to watch him. Tyler James Williams, who played Chris on Everybody Hates Chris, he's on it too. That girl, I can't remember her name. She was the receptionist on Free Radio. Huge comedic cast. You know, a give and take dynamic between the characters. I think it has a lot of potential, and hopefully it stays around for a little bit because I'm enjoying it so far. So Go On is my number two pick.
I've heard some good things about this one. I've heard it's not like as funny as some people wanted, but it's still pretty good and almost trying to be a new Community type of situational comedy.
Well, it's pretty emotionally heavy too. Like, yeah. The first episode, it takes a really hard turn at one point. Where it's, you know, it's jokes and, you know, Matthew Perry's like, oh, I'm fine. And then until you finally realize what's wrong with him, you realize why he's in therapy. And it's just like, oh. The same thing happens with Tyler James Williams' character. He kind of has a breakthrough and Matthew Perry does something really cool for him. Not going to say what, but I mean, that's part of what makes the show good.
Right. Chris, what's your number two?
My number two is Last Resort, and the basic idea, the Last Resort is, it stars Andre Brower and Scott Speedman, and also, what's his name is in it? I'm forgetting his name.
Andre Brower.
No, I already said Andre Brower.
Unless it's a clone of Andre
Robert
Brower.
Robert Patrick.
Yes, Robert Patrick.
So guys, that's from horror movies... Say. You got T-1000, you got the blue werewolf vampire hybrid.
And the guy from the Poseidon Dream.
Well, wasn't he in 1408 too? With
And the Mist.
With probably Cusick.
But yeah. They're in horror. They may have a horror background in some sense. And in a way, the plot of Last Resort is sort of a horror situation itself. It's a submarine. They are undersea, and they receive some orders to on a special secret channel to nuke Pakistan. And the special secret channel is only supposed to be used if the United States is annihilated. And so they demand confirmation of the orders, and when they don't get confirmation, they refuse to launch the nukes, at which point the U.S. forces turn on them and start attacking them. So then they go and they seek shelter at an island, which sounds eerily similar to Lost, and there are certainly some parallels there. This show is created by Sean Ryan, who is a great... He's made some great shows, The Shield being one of them. Also, I thought The Chicago Code was halfway decent.
I thought so too. I was pleased with it, and he was a showrunner on Terriers as well.
Yes, Terriers, another great show that unfortunately didn't last beyond one season.
Right. He actually, I looked him up here before this episode, just because, and here's our awesome professional tie-in here. Last Resort is also my number two. dun dun dun. But yeah, Sean Ryan also wrote for the TV show Nash Bridges way back in the day, which I used to love. It was before CSI was on. I was young. I was stupid. I didn't know what I was doing.
So did I. I loved Nash Bridges.
I have no idea why I loved it so much. but I did, and I'm not going to apologize for it. But Last Resort looks excellent. I'm kind of scared, honestly, because I feel like this is the type of show that if it doesn't grab people, it's not going to ever find its audience. Like, within the first few episodes, it's never going to find that audience, and it's going to be canceled quickly. It's going to be a flash in the pan type of show.
Yeah, we'll see if it can sustain itself.
I'm hoping, because it looks pretty excellent. But that brings us to number one. Reggie, what is your number one?
I kind of cheated with this one. Mine isn't so much a fall entry as it is like a late summer, and I'm not sure what's going on, if the season's over or if it's just on a break. But totally biased with W. Kamau Bell. Hilarious show. It's I don't want to compare it to The Daily Show, but it's basically they take political news and pretty much just poke fun of it, but in a hilarious way. Like for instance, when Mitt Romney misspoke and when the Sikh temple was attacked, and he made some kind of comment about how his heart goes out to the sheiks or something, and he was like, no, let me get this straight. He's like, this is a Sikh, this is a sheik, this is Shaq drinking a shake. and he goes on, he's like, this is a Sith, and very funny. It's produced by Chris Rock. He had Rachel Maddow on one episode, and just the conversations he has with these people, like, it's eye-opening. It makes me happy, and it's not necessarily a happy subject. It's I just have a really good time, look forward to watching it every week. So totally biased, this is my number one.
I've actually heard a lot of good things about that, and I've always intended to watch at least one episode, and I've just never been able to get around to it. So I know it's going to be back sometime soon, so hopefully I'll get a chance to see it then.
Yeah, I've heard some pretty good things of it as well, and in fact, your description of it just now, the back and forth, sounds pretty much comedy gold right there. Chris, what's your number one?
My number one is The Mindy Project. The Mindy Project is on Fox. Stars Mindy Kaling, who you may know from The Office. She wrote and directed a bunch of Office episodes, and she's got her own book, and she's been doing a bunch of stuff. She now finally gets her own starring vehicle, in which she plays a doctor who is naturally has trouble with love. As so many doctors throughout the years and so many other professions have had trouble with romance. But, you know, what I think makes this show unique and what I think makes it a real winner is that it is sort of non-traditional. Mindy Kaling isn't exactly the most attractive person in the world. I'm not saying she's ugly. I'm just saying she's of Indian descent. She's not exactly the kind of person that you put on the cover of a magazine sort of thing. But she's very funny and she writes really well. And, you know, to have this show paired up with another show like New Girl, which I think is also a fantastic show, with Zooey Deschanel, is just going to be a winning combination. And I think hopefully, the show will do well. I've heard positive things so far. It hasn't. The first episode's online. You can watch online, I think.
Yeah, I've heard some positive things as well. It'll be very interesting to see because Mindy Kaling she started as a writer, really, more than an actress, and she just sort of fell into her career as an actress with The Office. But she's really funny on The Office, and she's generally a pretty funny person, though I sometimes find her a little grating, so I'm not sure if that's a show that I'm going to be able to keep up with myself.
See, I know what you mean, Kevin. I actually did check out the first episode of The Mindy Project, and it is very funny, and I do get the comparison to New Girl. I think that I don't want to say like a new era is being ushered in, but at the same time, as funny as it is, I kind of felt like it. I didn't relate to it as much, and I'm not saying like, oh, it's a chick show, you know, because it's not like I love. I just sat here and said that I love Switched at Birth. It just didn't seem like it really catered to me. Like the, you know, young doctor in love who's funny. That it just not.
Everybody has to, like all the funny, rich people falling in love with Mindy Kaling is, yeah.
I can understand the apprehension.
Yeah, but it's definitely got a lot of hype around it. It'll be very interesting to see. I follow her on Twitter, so you know, there's only so much I can be like, oh, she's grating, but I also think she's funny enough to follow her on Twitter. Anyway, so my number one, Reggie, I also kind of cheated, but I cheated in the opposite direction. I honestly thought this was a show that was coming out this season, and I think it is still. I just think it's probably going to come out towards the end of the season and is not starting with everybody else. It's probably going to be a mid-season type replacement type thing. But that show is Hannibal, the TV show based on, of course, Hannibal the Cannibal from Silence of the Lambs, Manhunter, all the Thomas Harris books. And honestly, it was not a show that I was really, like, too primed about. You know, I enjoy Silence of the Lambs. I thought that I really liked Manhunter as well, which actually features Brian Cox as Hannibal Lecter. I thought Red Dragon was not great. I definitely thought that Manhunter was better. And Hannibal, the sequel to The Silence of the Lambs, was all right in a sort of over-the-top way. And then there's, of course, the prequel movie, Hannibal Rising, that I honestly forget exists. And I think most people do as well. But they're making a TV show about it, and it's starring, of all people, Mads Mikkelsen. You probably know Mads Mikkelsen best from Casino Royale as Le Chiffre. He's also in the movie Valhalla Rising, starring as the lead character, One Eye. He's been in a few other movies that have been fantastic.
Does he legitimately only have one eye? Because I'm pretty sure his character in Casino Royale only had one eye, too.
He has two eyes.
Then why does he keep taking roles where he only...
He doesn't have... He has two eyes in Casino Royale. He just has the one eye that bleeds blood. Or he cries blood in the one eye.
Bond villains are so weird and awesome at the same time.
It's true. It's true.
He's being typecast.
Yeah. He started out in the TV show... Or not the TV show. The movie series Pusher. Which is a pretty fantastic trilogy that was directed by Drive director Nicholas Winding Refn, and Hannibal is gonna. It just looks fantastic. It's got Hugh Dancy starring as Will Graham, and it's got Lawrence Fishburne as a recurring character, and it's being executive produced by David Slade, who did 30 Days of Night and Hard Candy, and yes, the Twilight Saga Eclipse, which I have not seen, but at least the first two were pretty good.
I like Hard Candy a little less now that I know that. I don't know how I didn't know that before, but and I thought Hard Candy was cool, but now it's less cool.
But so Hannibal, that's my number one. And I think that between the three of us, we got a pretty good list of shows coming up. We'll have to keep up on these and let them know if any of these are we're just totally off on any of these.
Yes.
But anyway, I think that's the show for the night.
Yep, that wraps it up.
All right. Well, then we will see everybody next week.
More fun then.
All right. Bye.
See ya.